All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everybody. I say that with a hint of sarcasm. Mondays are always so tough for me. It is 75 degrees and overcast here in upstate New York. And they are saying that we're going to get some mega rain. They're even predicting some hail and high winds, so that could be all kinds of fun. So where do we leave off on Friday? The show was titled Plague, Starvation, DNA Switch Flipping, and Immortality. And we looked at all kinds of insane technologies. At the very end of the show, we had looked at some stuff with... I don't even remember. It's Monday, guys. I don't even remember. What was the DNA switch flipping? They were talking about this new disease that they apparently found where DNA can't properly divide. And, of course, but it still was alive and it shouldn't be alive. So they were like zombie cells. And, of course, they're going to study that very carefully to learn what's going on. And like I've said before, wink, wink, they also study the stuff to figure out how it could be used in some sort of scary defensive posture. We also looked at that... parabiosis, where they were taking blood out of older animals and putting it into newer animals. And lo and behold, hey, look at it, made young animals old and old animals young again. So now, of course, they're trying to figure out what it is in the blood and all the different bodily chemicals that is allowing them to do that in their quest for immortality. You know, we spent a lot of time looking at Kurzweil. We've done Kurzweil quite a number of times. But guys, I gotta tell you, I ran across some stuff this weekend. It gets way worse. I mean, things are so out of the bottle right now that I think if you understood the entire ramification of everything that is going on at this moment, you would feel very, very tearful. Right now, I don't know, I'm having all kinds of issues again today, but we've talked about genetically modified insects, right? The most recent one has been Oxitec, who had funding, and they were in some sort of consortium with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation being a part of all that. Oxitec was the British company, I believe they were in the UK, that had engineered those GMO mosquitoes utilizing the CRISPR-9 technology, which is the gene editing software. And they had a couple different ways that they could engineer these mosquitoes. Basically, one allowed them to do population suppression, and the other modification was population elimination, allowing them to extinct an entire species. And I got to tell you, you know, for a corporation to be able to be toying with extincting species, because why? Well, we don't find any use apparently for mosquitoes because they give you horrible diseases like what? Oh, malaria. Yes, something that's very close to Bill Gates' heart. But all kinds of creatures also eat mosquitoes, such as bats that are in a lot of danger right now. And I don't think this setting up humans as being gods and deciding who lives and who dies is such a good idea. I mean, today it might be remote-controlled roaches and time bomb mosquitoes that, you know, get wiped out. But tomorrow it's going to be you and me, and they're going to decide who is worthy of living. I mean, they came out with research not too long ago that it said, oh, if you had a hard life, or if you had lots of sadness in your youth, or you made bad lifestyle choices for eating or smoking or whatever, they damage your DNA beyond belief, and it can be passed down to future generations. Well, when I read those stories, I was like, well, wait a second. So are they saying here that now, since they can tell you've made some bad lifestyle choices and it might be passing down to your progeny, that they can just decide when they finally get this international DNA database together, and then they can run it through all of their algorithms to determine who the best breeding stock is, which will be done artificially, mind you, because, hey, we're not going to have any sex drives anymore. They'll be able to decide who gets to reproduce and who doesn't. I came across an interesting story this morning. I just happened to look up Oxitec and see what they were doing, since they were also the company that created the genetically modified moths, Interxon, Interxon. And by the way, for their website, they managed to get themselves www.dna.com. Interxon to acquire who? Yes, Oxitec. So the name is probably going to be changing here. Interxon to acquire Oxitec, pioneer of innovative insect control solutions addressing global challenges. Well, wow. The UK wouldn't allow them to release genetically modified mosquitoes, so they had to go to smaller countries like down in the Bahamas. Then they tried it in Key West, and, you know, they let a few go. Brazil, I think I read as well, they let some of the mosquitoes go. And then they stepped the very, very first place on U.S. soil where they were allowed to release these genetically modified insects. So I just feel like so damn proud to be in the state that was the first one to jump on the mad science gone mad end of life as we know it bandwagon. But check this out. So this is the press release out of Germantown, Maryland. Interesting that they're in Maryland as well, where a lot of the pit of vipers are. Germantown, Maryland and Oxford, England. Interxon Corporation. They are public. X-O-N is their symbol. A leader in what? Synthetic biology. Announced today an agreement to acquire Oxitec Limited, a pioneer in biological insect control solutions. Oxitec's safe. Yes, they say it's safe, but people have already raised a red flag over their gene drive technology that they're utilizing, how they could start a mutation, and that mutation is going to wipe out or at least spread throughout the entire population. And if they're doing something like population suppression, yes, it could wipe out an entire species if they are not careful. Oxitec's quote-unquote safe, innovative, yeah, I'll give them that, self-limiting approach to control mosquitoes that spread disease and to limit pest-related crop damage is well aligned with Interxon's growth and investment strategies. Officer Randall J. Kirk commented, quote, Oxitec's technology demonstrates that engineered biology can solve some of mankind's most difficult problems. Many that have eluded solutions for a very long time while exercising tremendous respect for the environment. Can you say puke? Where's the respect in New York where no one had approval and didn't tell any of the organic farmers or do any type of environmental studies? This is a bunch of bullshit.
A company known as Oxitec is planning on genetically modifying something known as the diamondback moth. And the diamondback moth is basically one of the major pests that destroys our cabbage crops, broccoli and fruit. And as a result, Oxitec is thinking, well, if we can just completely get rid of the diamondback moth, then we don't need to use pesticides. So this is really interesting because what they want to do is introduce something known as the suicide gene to these moths.
Oh, oops, oh no, it got into the, yeah, human species. Oh well, we had a nice run.
So it's really interesting how this would work. I mean, forget about humans. Think about what this could possibly do to the ecosystem, right? Because the diamondback moths, I'm sure, do a little more than just, you know, become pests for our crops, right? Mm-hmm. And to completely destroy an entire species of moths might not be a good idea, and that's the thing. Oxitec is being criticized because they aren't being transparent about this. Now, they genetically modified mosquitoes in the Cayman Islands, and they didn't let the residents know about what they were doing, and they got into a little bit of trouble about that. So the lack of transparency is issue number one here.
Yeah, issue number two is fucking with the whole planet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oxitec sounds like the bad guys in a bad movie. Like in a B-rate movie, like, oh, there's Oxitec. So now, in reality, look, I get it. There's obviously, we're enormous fans of science here, and there's great advantages in being able to produce more food, et cetera. And Oxitec is not in a movie. It's a real company, and I'm sure they do some good as well, right? But here, all I'm saying is they got to be really, really careful.
Right.
And putting the kidding aside about introducing the human genes, moth genes are not going to become human genes. Everybody, I hope, understands that, right? But putting these suicide genes into any species, you know, I'm afraid, man. Like, we mess around with nature all the time. Don't get me wrong. It's not like we're pristine and we've never messed with any other plants or animals' DNA. But at some point, we might make a mistake that we have a little bit of trouble recovering from.
Right, and I think that's why it's so important for these companies to be transparent, because one thing that I definitely want everyone to understand is I know that a lot of these companies come from good intentions, right? Now, of course, there's a profit motive. They're thinking about their bottom line. But at the same time, they're trying to solve a real problem, which is, you know, what can we do to prevent our crops from being destroyed without having to use pesticides, which, by the way, I'm sure Monsanto is not a fan of all this, because the whole reason why Monsanto genetically modified our food is so it would be immune to the pesticides that we use, right? And now
so
all of a sudden, you have a different company coming along saying, hey, if we just get rid of the pests, you don't need the pesticide.
What if we genetically modified the humans so they're not bothered by the pesticide or the food?
Well, you're giving people ideas now.
DARPA and Ventnor launch assembly line for genetic engineering. This is out of 2012. Military industrial complex just got a bit livelier. That's because DARPA and the Pentagon's far out research arm have kicked off a program designed to take the conventions of manufacturing and apply them to living cells. Think of it like an assembly line, but one that would churn out modified biological matter, man-made organisms, instead of cars and computer parts. Yes! Well, the program is called Living Foundries and was first announced by the agency last year, which was 2011, and now DARPA has handed out 7 research awards, $15.5 million to 6 different companies and institutions, and among them, DARPA's favorites, the University of Texas at Austin, the California Institute of Technology, and 2 contracts were also issued to the J. Craig Ventnor Institute. Dr. Ventnor is something of a biology superstar. If anyone remembers him, he's also quite an angel investor and is involved in a lot of crazy things. But he was among the first scientists to sequence the human genome, and in 2010, his institute was able to create the first cell with an entirely synthetic genome. And if I was reading, it also was reproducing. Living Foundries aspires to turn the slow, messy process of genetic engineering into a streamlined and standardized one. Yes! Don't worry about it. And of course, the field is already a burgeoning one. Scientists have tweaked cells in order to develop renewable petroleum. And what? Spider goats, if you remember that, to make the spider silk that were coming out of the goat's milk. And a host of companies are investigating the pharmaceutical and agricultural premises lurking, with some tinkering, of course, inside living cells. And that genie is long out of the bottle. I mean, this CRISPR-9 technology with the gene drive, that is what has come out of this. DARPA, back in 2011 and 2012, were saying they want to be able to have on-demand production of homemade, hacked, biological cells. Well, guess what? I think they got it. But while I was doing playlists this weekend, guys.
And finally tonight, producing the building blocks of the future. New York Times technology reporter David Pogue has teamed up with Nova for a new series that will look at innovative technologies and materials. In tonight's premiere, he focuses on making stuff stronger. Here's an excerpt.
Spider silk has been shown to have more tensile strength than steel and Kevlar. It can stretch to 140% of its length without breaking and remains flexible even in extreme cold. It's also so lightweight that a mere pound of the stuff could form a single strand long enough to stretch around the equator. But could we ever harvest enough to put it to use? I paid a visit to the American Museum of Natural History in New York, where I met Nicholas Godley.
This is it. This is your baby?
This is the big one.
Who enlisted the help of more than a million spiders to make this breathtaking piece of fabric.
It's the largest known textile and sample or piece of spider silk in the world.
To truly appreciate this remarkable material, you have to feel it. The main piece is so valuable, it's off limits, even to its creator. But Nicholas has brought a smaller sample.
It feels really, really, really soft. Like animal wool or something.
I challenge you to break off this piece.
I'm gonna break before it does. Okay, it does not break. It's like pulling a strand of steel. Wow.
It's beautiful, and it's super strong. Could we ever put spider silk to practical use?
It's very difficult, obviously, to do this on a commercial scale, and it took 1,063,000 spiders, roughly, to make.
Jeez!
It takes about 20 minutes for each spider, and they produce about 400 yards of thread.
Each thread was pulled by hand from a spider's spinneret. It took 4 years and millions of strands to weave this 11-foot-long masterpiece. Its rarity is a testament to the sheer difficulty of harvesting this material. But that may soon change, thanks to this guy.
So here's where we keep our spiders. We have special little cages for them in this room.
Spider Central, huh?
Whoa! Not funny! Not funny! So you're now an official Spider-Man affiliate.
This is Randy Lewis, a biologist at the University of Wyoming, who's stuck on spider silk.
Wow. This is a golden orb weaver. Golden orb weaver. Just cup your hand and get behind her.
Why is she making web right now?
Because she wants to make sure if she falls, she catches herself.
So she's constantly spinning out that drag line?
Whenever they move, they leave the drag line behind. That's kind of where it got its name.
Randy has been fascinated by the amazing properties of dragline silk for 15 years. And he knows all too well the difficulty of extracting silk from spiders. So he set out to find a way to mass produce the stuff in hopes of revolutionizing the world of strong materials. Wyoming is ranch country. So when Randy began to consider how to solve the problem, his thoughts turned to livestock. He figured maybe he could combine a little old-fashioned animal husbandry with the emerging science of genetic engineering. Now, thanks to Randy, these goats have just a little bit of spider in them.
Transgenic, that's the word for what these goats are?
Right, means that they have a gene from another organism that's been put into their chromosomes.
Genes are sections of DNA that contain the encoded instructions for making proteins. Scientists identified the two genes in spider DNA that make silk. They copied one of the genes and spliced it into the DNA of goats so that they would make spider silk protein in their milk.
Spoiler alert, the scientists eventually turned those proteins into strands of silk that are stronger than steel. And you can see it all happen on Nova's program, Making Stuff Stronger, tonight on most PBS stations.
Okay, let's go on to the next story. So DARPA's new biotechnology office, if last year was the year of battlefield robots, cyborg soldiers, and weaponized drones, it looks like the next couple years we'll see the Pentagon gearing up for a deep dive into biotech. DARPA announced today, and this was April 1st, April Fool's Day, how fitting, 2014, it now is a unit devoted to studying the intersection of biology and engineering called the Biological Technologies Office, or BTO for short.
Hundreds upon hundreds of agencies in the U.S. government, and those agencies often have agencies within them. And now the Department of Defense has just created a brand new one. And this one has a really futuristic name. It's called the Biological Technology Office, or BTO. And it will cover lots of amazing programs that would get any sci-fi nerd excited. Or scare the living crap out of an enemy of the U.S. It all depends on how you look at it. The new agency will deal with programs coming out of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, which involve combining living stuff with technology. so things like brain research and synthetic biology. For instance, they'll oversee a bunch of programs aimed at understanding the human brain in order to develop cybernetic prosthetics that will actually integrate with the nervous system. So basically, the technology will allow the DoD to create robo-people. The agency will also work on a technology that allows humans to control robots remotely with their minds, which down the line could allow pilots to control drones with their minds. BTO will also oversee the Cortical Processor Program, which seeks to recreate the human brain's capability to take in a lot of stimuli from the senses and use that to recognize patterns. So instead of having to rely on a computer combing through a database to recognize someone's face, the technology will be able to make that recognition as fast as a friend of that person would. BTO would also oversee an effort to recreate Star Trek's tricorder, which could instantly diagnose and recognize diseases. That would be an amazing tool for doctors and citizens around the globe. But the government wants it for the military. And that's the deal with much of our technology and progress. It's born out of our giant military budget to use as an advantage in games of war. And that's what grosses me out. It'd be amazing if this new biological technology office were part of a health or science agency, if it were seen as worthwhile work just for the betterment of humanity. But instead, it's part of our military, because that's how our government looks at it. So I don't know why our government even bothers making all of these other agencies when all they really want is an agency of war. Tonight, let's talk about that by following me on Twitter at TheResident.
The agency is betting that the next generation of defense technology will take a clue from natural life, such as one of the major focuses of the new unit will be on synthetic biology. It'll ramp up research into manufacturing biomaterials, turning living cells, proteins, and DNA into a genetic factory. Yes, there we go. The goal is to create man-made living supermaterials that can be used for the next generation mechanical and electrical products, self-repairing materials, renewable fuels, solar cells, and so on. And it is not a new initiative. DARPA announced its Living Foundry Synthetic Biology Program 3 years ago, when the story was written 4 years ago now, to transform modern-day manufacturing. And now the 2015 budget will bump the program's funding from $18 to $28 million. The even more WTF future potential of synthetic biology is engineering synthetic life. Yes, synthetic life. Eventually creating entirely new, artificially made life forms. And back, oh, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, they had already announced that they had the X and Y amino acids. They had now A, T, C, G, X, and Y on the DNA strands, and they created what they essentially called alien life for the very first time.
Speaking of genetic modification, today's show is brought to you by the letters DNA. That's because scientists at the Scripps Research Institute have created the first organism with alien DNA. Wait, give me a second to explain. As you may remember from science class, double helix DNA strands are bonded together with four genetic letters, A, T, C, and G. Now, this new organism has all the above, as well as an X and a Y. The living cell these scientists are then working with reproduced normally in the test tube with the inclusion of the two foreign DNA building blocks, X and Y. The next step is to get this so-called alien DNA to actually do something, like produce proteins that target cancer cells, or something even currently unimaginable. So food for thought, maybe aliens do exist, hopefully.
It is not totally far-fetched. Just last week, researchers manipulated DNA to engineer the first synthetic custom designer chromosome, designed on a computer and made from scratch in the laboratory. It is being heralded as the first step toward a man-made artificial organism. Naturally, this is something DARPA is interested in exploring, of course. In 2010, the agency announced its biodesign program, which would study how to create synthetic beings genetically engineered to be immortal and program with a kill switch that can be flicked at any moment to turn the future beings off. I think we need to look into the biodesign program. It makes you think, Why bother with mechanical robots when you can engineer fake human replicants to fight your battles? Well, we haven't heard much about the Pentagon's would-be synthetic soldiers since then, but the biodesign program got a bump from $11.4 to $19.3 million in next year's budget. So that's for 2015. So they're already working on this synthetic soldier thing for 2015. Biodesign program. Biodesign will employ system engineering methods in combination with biotechnology and synthetic chemical technology to create novel beneficial attributes. Oh, this is horrible. Biodesign mitigates the unpredictability of natural evolutionary advancement primarily by advanced genetic engineering and molecular biology technologies to produce the intended biological effect. Did they just say evolution sucks, it's out a window, and we are going to manipulate evolution so we can get our intended biological effect? That sounds like a mass global eugenics program for everything and anything on planet Earth. This thrust area includes design molecular responses that increase resistance to cellular death signals and improved computational methods for prediction of function based solely on sequence and structure of proteins produced by the synthetic biological systems. Beyond engineering new living materials and living organisms, the biotech unit will bring the agency's long-standing research into neuroscience, epidemiology, disease, prosthetics, and other life sciences all under one roof to start pushing for results. So how frightening, every bit of mad science gone mad that we have ever talked about on this show is now being brought under one roof. We need to find out who this who's running biodesign. All right, sip of coffee. Quote, we are already starting to turn the results, resulting knowledge into practical tools and capabilities, said Jeff Ling, the office's first director, in a press release. So I guess Jeff Ling is the guy we need to look up. They'll be working on some seriously futuristic stuff, even by DARPA standards. The unit will continue research into mind control limbs and better merging the human brain with cybernetic body parts. And already prosthetics directly connected to the nervous system can be controlled by brainwaves, signaling nearby healthy muscles. Connecting robotic limbs directly to the brain is next on the list, and they've been working on that. The agency tested this out in human trials about a year ago. Quadriplegic volunteers, yes, remember, they prey on the desperate. Quadriplegic volunteers had chips implanted in the skull that could pick up on neural signals that control motor functions and harness them to control top-notch robotic arms. In a sense, we've opened a door, yes, or I'm going to say Pandora's fucking huge box. A connection between the human brain and the rest of the world, says DARPA's director, Arati Parabakar, that woman. You can let your imagination go wild about where that's going to take us, yes. And you know what? You probably won't be wrong. But any of the insanity that you can think of, it's going to be real. Next, researchers are working on making the signal go both ways so patients can not only control the prosthetic with their minds, but when the device moves, it sends signals back to the nervous system to trigger the sensation of physical touch. Further into the future, these neurally enabled human-machine interface technologies, to use the technical parlance, could eventually be applied to developing brain-controlled robots and UAVs, and yes, they're already working on that. Remember, this story is a year old. Scientists are currently working on controlling small consumer robots and commercial quadcopters with thoughts, why not a military drone someday? Well, yeah. According to today's announcement, the Biological Technologies Office will also tackle better artificial intelligence for machines on the battlefield, better therapies for memory loss and other brain functions. Yes, we've looked at that. And biological warfare defenses like disease detectors, vaccines for viruses, and understanding the spread of outbreaks. Guys, this is just so insane because this story was from April of 2014, and we're way down this path just a year and a few months later. You know, they are way into their brain research, and I mean, it's now been considered a whole national push. And as a matter of fact, it's an international push. DARPA was working on trying to help PTSD patients remove and insert happy memories to get rid of their PTSD, their artificial intelligence program. We looked at some of that with DARPA Dan and the Sentry, the beginnings of Skynet that's already out of the bottle. I mean, DARPA is just beyond anything of our nightmares. All right, so let's read a couple more stories, and I'm going to end it up with the big one that I found this weekend. This is from April 9th, 2015. DARPA Synthetic Biology and Human Germline Engineering. DARPA wants to change the world again. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, as it is rarely called, mostly focuses on national security and game-changing military capabilities, but its range goes much wider. The agency boasts of its contributions to our high-tech society, including the internet, GPS, and even graphical user interfaces, and now synthetic biology is becoming an important part of its agenda. At the end of March 2015, and I actually posted this on the Before the First Cup page back then, the agency released a 40-page report, Breakthrough Technologies for What? Oh, National Security. Yes, anything done under the guise of national security gets full-out breakneck funding. As the press release summarizes, one of DARPA's four current main issues of strategic investment are harnessing biology as technology to leverage the recent breakthroughs in neuroscience, immunology, genetics, and related fields. DARPA in 2014 created its Biological Technology Office, which has enabled a new level of momentum for the agency's portfolio of innovative bio-based programs. DARPA's work in this area includes programs to accelerate progress in synthetic biology, outpacing the spread of infectious disease, and master new neurotechnologies. Guys, any of these vaccines that are coming out now are all using the DNA, RNAi, switch-flipping crazy shit. Or, you know, some of the stuff that we looked at with the Oxitec mosquitoes, being able to manipulate your genes so you don't produce certain proteins that are required to live. Once you've been moved out of your 100-mile radius environment, let's say, they had done that with making the mosquitoes require tetracycline. So once they went out into the wild, they only lasted so long, because tetracycline is not readily available in the environment, then they died. Those were the kill switches they were talking about. This report, Breakthrough Technologies for National Security, is basically a PR document, and skeptics such as Ed Hammond point to the unaddressed risks of field releases and engineering of vaccines. Bioethicist Jonathan Moreno is concerned that DARPA doesn't seem to take ethical advice seriously. Biology is technology. DARPA is back in the game with a big vision. This piece summarizes the agency's ambition in this area. They are out to revolutionize the practice and products of bioscience, and along the way, they are redefining what it will mean to be human. Ding, ding, ding. DARPA is not the only federal agency ramping into biotechnology. The Department of Energy, I did not know about this one, the Department of Energy's Joint Genome Institute. Why is the Department of Energy involved in genomes? I mean, maybe for biofuels and stuff, but that just seems really bizarre to me. the Department of Energy's Joint Genome Institute, which has been deeply involved in genome sequencing for years, is planning, according to Genome Web, to move, quote, into functional genomics and synthetic biology, unquote. The Department of Energy is moving into synthetic biology as well. Government agencies have long been involved in many kinds of high-tech research, international, and what's unsettling is if we're now with Eric Gilano in Morality and the Idea of Progress in Silicon Valley. That's exactly what I've been saying. Mad science gone mad, and these guys are complete, utter fucking psychopaths who want to transhumanize us and move us into human 2.0, whether or not we want to. In defense and high tech, it is fair to say that transparency has rarely been a priority, and it is worrying to think that synthetic biology may be headed in the same direction. We hear that at a press conference promoting the new DARPA report, some journalists ask about the current controversies over human germline engineering and were brushed off with a dismissive comment about, quote, pressing on. This does not seem to have been published, so we cannot confirm it, but it is certainly plausible. DARPA's director, Roddy Pachmar, is quoted or perhaps paraphrased in The Atlantic as saying, quote, that the agency constantly considers the political and scientific controversies surrounding biotechnology research, but that it isn't in the interests of DARPA or the nation to hold back because of controversy, unquote. Clearly, this recent DARPA focus on cutting-edge biotech is potentially quite disturbing. At best, it means that secret, unethical research is continuing, and at worst, if government-funded scientists are pursuing human germline modification behind closed lab doors, that we have a lot more to worry about than we thought. Zingo! That story was right the hell on. Well, here we go. So what do I see? A headline yesterday, and I must have missed it when I was gone at the end of June. Here's the headline, guys. I dropped it in chat this weekend, so maybe a few of you saw it. DARPA, we are engineering the organisms that will terraform Mars. Yes, they've gone and done it. They are going to spread our plague now into the solar system. It is no secret that the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency is investing heavily in genetic engineering and synthetic biology. Whether that excites you or terrifies you depends on how you feel about the military engineering totally new life forms. If you're in the excitement camp, however, here's a nugget for you. DARPA believes that it's on the way to creating organisms capable of terraforming Mars into a planet that looks more like Earth. So it seems to me like the elites have decided that Mars is the one. The goal of terraforming Mars would be to warm up and potentially thicken its atmosphere by growing green, photosynthesizing plants, bacteria, and algae on the bare Martian surface. And that's what I remember reading originally when they talked about terraforming Mars. They talked about planting trees and using algae because the atmosphere is made, the majority of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide and a little bit of nitrogen. So plants would do very well there. It is a goal that even perpetual techno-optimists like Elon Musk think isn't going to happen anytime soon, but it is a goal that DARPA apparently already has its eyes on. For the first time, we have technological toolkits to transform not just hostile places here on Earth, but to go into space, not just to visit, but to stay, says Alicia Jackson, deputy director of DARPA's new biotechnologies office at a DARPA-hosted biotech conference back at the end of June 2015. As she said this, Jackson was pointing to an artist's rendition of terraforming Mars. So what is this technological toolkit that she's talking about? For the last year, Jackson's lab has been working on learning how to more easily genetically engineer organisms of all types, not just E. coli and yeast, which are more commonly used in synthetic biology projects. There are anywhere from 30 million to 30 billion organisms on this earth. Now, they just said that they are working to genetically engineer organisms of all types. And then they follow it up with a quote that there are anywhere from 30 million to 30 billion organisms. This is so frightening, guys. This really, to me, I don't know why this isn't every day on the front page demanding accountability and a stop to this. Anyway, back to her quote. There are anywhere from 30 million to 30 billion organisms on this earth, and we use two right now for engineering biology. I want to use any organism that has the properties that I want because I'm a god. I mean, how horrible. Talk about lofty fucking goals. I want to use any organism that I want. And I want to quickly map it and quickly engineer it. If you look at genome annotation software today, it's not built to quickly find engineer-abled systems and genes. It's built to look for an esoteric and interesting thing that I can publish an academic paper on. Well, fuck academic papers! Because apparently we just want to create these artificial life forms and let them all go! DARPA and some of its research partners have created software called DTA GView, which Jackson calls the, quote, Google Maps of Genomes. At the conference, she pulled up the genomes of several organisms on the program, which immediately showed a list of known genes and where they are located in the genome. This torrent of genomic data we're now collecting is awesome! Yes, torrent of genomic data! Of course they are. It's going to be a global genetic database that they will then decide who lives, who's worthy, and who dies. This torrent of genomic data we're now collecting, and they're probably going to store all this information with the newly inked executive order for supercomputers in the United States. This genomic data that we're collecting is awesome, except they sit in databases where they remain data, not knowledge. Very little genetic information we have is actionable, she said, and with this, the goal is to, within a day, sequence and find where I can best engineer an organism. The goal is to essentially pick and choose the best genes, ding, 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 from whatever form of life we want, and to edit them into other forms of life to create something entirely new. Can I read that again? This is DARPA's goal. The goal is to essentially pick and choose the best genes from whatever form of life we want and to edit them into other forms of life to create something entirely new. This will probably first happen in bacteria and other microorganisms, but it sounds as though the goal may be to do this with more complex multicellular organisms in the future. The utility of having such a capability is pretty astounding. Jackson threw out goals of eradicating vector-borne illnesses, which obviously sounds lovely and utopian, but perhaps more interesting is DARPA's plan to use specifically engineered organisms to help repair environmental damage. Jackson says that after a natural or man-made disaster, it will be possible to engineer new types of extremophile organisms. That's the new term they're using, extremophile. Capable of surviving in a scarred wasteland. And those organisms photosynthesized and thrived. As those organisms photosynthesized and thrived, it would naturally bring that environment back to health. Yes, oh, what a wonderful vision. And that is where terraforming Mars comes in. With enough practice turning Earth's damaged landscape back into places hospitable for life, Jackson thinks that we'll have what it takes eventually to try to colonize the solar system. Guys, they are letting the genie out of the bottle, and they don't give two shits about whether or not it's going to harm us or hurt the environment or take out you or your kids or butterflies. They don't give a shit. This is something that obviously doesn't even really have a timeline, but it's technology that it's in its infancy, and much of the work being done is classified. But the implications are exciting nonetheless, she says, rubbing her evil hands together. After a man-made or natural disaster, we can think about recovering the environment. These are the tools that, for the first time, are allowing us to go after that problem. So there you go. And knowing that we have a reality show that's going to be taking place on Mars, and they're aiming for 2024, I believe, for the first people to hit Mars. Hey, that doesn't give us much time. That is 9 years from now. And if we listen to Kurzweil about how technology is exponential, it shouldn't take too long. Put on a seatbelt, people, because the next few years, I think we're not even going to recognize the world that we live in now. It really is like gone off the rails at this point.
Modifying a planet's atmosphere to make it habitable for humans could soon be a possibility. According to the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA has announced it is developing terraforming technology in a bid to recreate the conditions needed for life to thrive. It would see a number of organisms introduced to the Martian environment, making regions on the surface suitable for humans. Alisa Jackson, the deputy director of DARPA's Biological Technologies Office in Virginia, made comments alluding to the technology at a biotech conference on Monday. For the first time, we have a technological toolkit to transform not just hostile places here on Earth, but to go into space not just to visit, but to stay. The toolkit will involve genetically engineering organisms of all types, of which there are up to 30 billion on Earth. On Earth, most synthetic biology projects use just two at the moment, E. coli and yeast. I want to use any organisms that has properties I want. I want to quickly map it and quickly engineer it, Jackson said. A newly developed software called DTA GView, dubbed the Google Maps of Genomes, will help scientists correlate information on organisms. And the ultimate goal is to choose organisms with specific genes to create something with certain characteristics. For example, it has been theorized that some could be bioengineered to pull certain gases out of the Martian atmosphere, like carbon dioxide, and create nitrogen and oxygen. Both are abundant in Earth's atmosphere and would be needed for any humans hoping to breathe on Mars without a spacesuit. NASA has toyed with the idea before. Last year, they unveiled the Mars Ecopoiesis Test Beds concept, which would create ecosystems capable of supporting life within biodomes on Mars. But DARPA's technology would create livable environments outside in the open air on the Martian surface.
Mars One will establish human settlement on Mars in 2023. In that year, the first group of four humans will land on Mars. Every 2 years after that, another group will join the settlement.
My first impression was that this is an extraordinary project by people with vision and imagination. But my first reaction was, I think like anyone who would be confronted with such an idea, this will never work. But now look and listen more closely. This is really something that can be achieved. I think this might become a most spectacular media event ever, watched by everyone on the globe.
1972 was the last time that humans walked on the moon. No human has ever gone as far as Mars. Mars One has designed a mission that is much simpler than previous designs for Mars missions. The most significant simplification is that the crew is actually going to stay and live on Mars with the intention to remain there for the rest of their lives.
We will finance this mission by creating the biggest media event ever around it. Everybody in the world can see everything that will happen in the preparations and on Mars.
This is going to be a media spectacle. Big Brother will pale in comparison. The whole world will be watching and experience this journey.
Mars One paid visits to major aerospace companies around the world. In these meetings, they confirmed to us that they can supply the required equipment. For every component, we have at least one potential supplier. All these suppliers have written letters of interest for Mars One.
As for financing, this is going to be a private enterprise. Only private firms are going to contribute. No political mumbo-jumbo, no taxpayers' money will be involved. Only people like myself and many others who are enthusiastic about the program will contribute.
This is the plan. In 2016, a communication satellite and a supply mission will be sent to Mars. In 2018, a large planetary rover will be sent to Mars. It will drive around on Mars to find the best location for the settlement.
In 2020, living units, life support units, a rover, and more supplies will be sent to Mars. The rovers will prepare the settlement for human arrival. They will extract the inflatable section from the living unit. The life support unit will prepare the outpost for arrival of the humans. The crew will depart in September 2022, when the settlement is fully operational and habitable. They will be flying to Mars in a transit habitat with a lander attached to it.
7 months later, in April 2023, the humans will land on Mars, the next giant leap for mankind.
This project seems to be the only way to fulfill humanity's dream to explore outer space. It is going to be an exciting experiment. Let's get started.
Mars One invites you to join us in this great adventure. For more information, visit mars-one.com.
The world is on the verge of global change. The speed of data transmission has increased by multiples of millions. The rate of globally significant events and that of discoveries and crises is growing exponentially. Our civilization is like an uncaptained ship sailing on rough seas with neither chart nor compass, all the while moving faster and faster. The time we have to make the right decisions is shorter and shorter. We are facing the choice to fall into a new dark age, into affliction and degradation, or to find a new model for human development and create not simply a new civilization, but a new mankind. Historic crises show that to break the deadlock, we need technological revolution. It is clear that today's revolution will also require the deepest social transformation. The world's community and leaders should encourage mankind, instead of wasting resources on solving momentary problems, to focus on the technologies of the future: nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, cognitive technology, genetics, and robotics. Doing so will allow us to find new sources of energy, create fundamentally new architecture and transportation, allow unprecedented developments of human cognitive abilities, refine artificial intelligences and brain-computer interfaces, simulate complex systems, create humanoid robots and cyborgs, and with the help of nanorobots, we may develop manageable matter. Find ways to transfer one's personality to an artificial carrier. Yet what we need is not just another technological revolution, but a new civilizational paradigm. We need new philosophy and ideology, new ethics, new culture and new psychology, and even new metaphysics. We must reset our limits, go beyond ourselves, beyond the Earth, and beyond the solar system. This is an adequate response to the challenges of our time. Thus, new reality and future man will arise. Could it happen spontaneously? By itself? Unlikely. Humanity does not have a master plan of its development. It seeks stability. It lives in the present and does not plan. It preserves the status quo and tries to escape development. It does not tend to map future centuries and take responsibility for evolution. In consumer society's culture, there is no evolutionary vocabulary and rhetoric. To break the deadlock, the Russia 2045 movement was founded. It is a mega project intended to reach new heights and meanings. We intend to create a new vector for civilization, aimed at constant human development and evolution. As happened with the mega projects of the last century, the nuclear and the space programs, we integrate the latest discoveries and developments from the sciences. Physics, energetics, aeronautics, bioengineering, nanotechnology, neurology, cybernetics, cognitive science. May everlasting spiritual ideals and values help us avoid going astray. Our project will give new meanings to the millions of people on Earth, will become a result of their joint creativity, and will lead us out of the impasse. Away from the murder of nature and physical death, forward to the realm of freedom and creativity, to the depths of the ocean and to the stars, to the infinite universe of our inner world. Our forecast for the next 40 years. February 2012. Global Future 2045 Congress is held in Moscow. It is a debate platform for discussion of our civilization's prospects for development. 2012 to 2013. The global economic and social crises are exacerbated. The debates on the global paradigm of future development intensifies. New transhumanist movements and parties emerge. Russia 2045 transforms into World 2045. Simultaneously, the 2045.com international social network for open innovation is expanding. Here, anyone interested may propose a project, take part in working on it, or fund it, or both. In the network, there are scientists, scholars, researchers, financiers, and managers. 2013 to 2014. New centers working on cybernetic technologies for the development of radical life extension rise. The race for immortality starts. 2015 to 2020. The Avatar is created. A robotic human copy controlled by thought via brain-computer interface. It becomes as popular as a car. In Russia and in the world appear, in testing mode, several breakthrough projects. Android robots to replace people in manufacturing tasks. Android robot servants for every home. Thought-controlled avatars to provide telepresence in any place of the world and abolish the need for business trips. Flying cars. Thought-driven mobile communications built into the body or sprayed onto the skin. 2020 to 2025, an autonomous system providing life support for the brain and allowing it interaction with the environment is created. The brain is transplanted into an Avatar B. With Avatar B, man receives new, expanded life. 2025, the new generation of avatars provides complete transmission of sensations from all five sensory robot organs to the operator.